today on Life Talk.
Have you ever looked at the way God was using somebody else, or how God was blessing somebody else, and it just seemed like they were getting more blessed than you, more used than you, or that they were more gifted than you, or had more money than you, or had this or that? Have you ever looked at somebody like that and said, Lord, what about them? Why are you doing this with them? Why aren't they experiencing the troubles that I've experienced? Or why does it seem like I'm going through so much more than they are? What about them, Lord?
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, solid biblical truth, and maybe even a laugh or two, well, that's exactly what Pastor Jeff wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated at times, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always check it out at our website, lifetalkradio.us. In fact, you can find all the programs right there waiting just for you, lifetalkradio.us. But right now, here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more about today's program on Life Talk.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Life Talk. You know, one of the most interesting things we find about the things Jesus said is the questions he asked of people along the way. You know, to think that God the Son looked men and women like you and me right in the eye and asked them questions is an amazing thing. Now, of course, he never needed us to answer a question he didn't already understand, but his questions were designed to teach us a life-changing lesson. And in our current series, the questions Jesus asked, we're tackling some of the Lord's most probing questions. This time, we're going to consider the question, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and take hold of his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? So grab your Bible and follow along as we explore Jesus' question, why do you seek the praise of men?
In virtually every question Jesus asked, there is a message hidden in the question. That's why we're looking at the questions that Jesus asked, because we want to grab the message of the question, because there is gold in every question Jesus asked. Jesus said in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 21, Mark puts the question that we quoted right after Jesus giving the parable of the sower. But Matthew puts Jesus' teaching not in the form of a question, but in the form of a statement. And he puts it early on in the Sermon on the Mount. So he places it in a little bit of a different context, but it's the same teaching. You don't light a candle and put it under a table. You put it on the tabletop so that everybody can see it. It's easy to see what Jesus was teaching. He's making a common sense statement. We all know this. You don't light a candle and then go, well, the candle's lit, so let me put it under a table where nobody can see it and where it can't light anything up. Well, that's obvious. It's not true. That's not what you do, all right? But Jesus used very simple illustrations to teach profound truths, okay? And what he's doing is he's using physical light to make an illustration about spiritual light. You see, he said to us, you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. Now, John quotes Jesus saying, I am the light of the world, speaking about himself. I'm the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John quotes Jesus saying that about himself. But now, Jesus being light, when we come to him, the light lights us. We become lit. Jesus said, my life is the light of men. Now, we all know that when we come to Christ, we receive life, spiritual life. For the first time in our life, we receive life. And when we receive life, we receive light. Now, Jesus is like a great big candle who lights all of us. And then we're like littler candles walking around, and we're not supposed to be under a table. That's the point of Jesus' question. Do men light a candle and put it under a table? Well, of course not, Lord. You put it on a tabletop. We need to see light. We want the darkness to go away. We want light to fill the room. And Jesus is saying, all right, I'm giving you a teaching to teach you a very important lesson. You've come to me. You believed on me. Now, I don't want you to go hide. I don't want your Christianity to be hidden under a table. I want you to be upfront with it. I want you to be out there with it. I want you to be unashamed of me. I want you to get out there and let your light shine. Now, it's interesting to me that Mark and Luke put Jesus' words about lighting a candle and don't put it under a table right after the parable of the sower. Now, why? Well, the parable of the sower, we have four different people receiving the gospel, or at least hearing the gospel. The first one that hears it never gets saved. The next two that heard it receive the word, but for different reasons, they fail to bring forth fruit. One of them is hindered by persecution. When persecution arises, he doesn't have any roots and he falls away. The next one is choked out. His faith and fruitfulness are choked out by the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. So he doesn't bring forth fruit. Now, Jesus says there's only one guy left, and this is the guy that brings forth much fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. So there is that Christian that actually brings forth fruit. Now, right after talking about that one, Jesus says, no man lights a candle, does he? And hides it under a table, does he? No, but he puts it on a tabletop so that everybody can see it. Why would Jesus put that question right after talking about the man that bore good fruit? Well, I believe it's clear. Jesus is putting that there. He's letting us know that's one of the things that the fruitful man did. He did not let his light be hidden. He was open about his faith, open about his walk with Christ, and he was letting his light shine. That's why Jesus had it there. The answer to Jesus' question is, no, Jesus, we're not to light a candle. We're not to be lit Christians. We're not to get saved and receive the life of God into us and have our souls receive true life for the first time and then go hide. No. We're supposed to be out there letting our light shine. Jesus said, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. I love this. I love looking at these questions. Let's look at the next one. This is a really good one. This is one that maybe you've wondered about, and it's found in Mark's gospel as well, chapter 9, verse 50. Jesus said, salt is good, but what if salt becomes flat? Now, have you ever read that and wondered what Jesus meant? Let me paraphrase it just a little bit. Salt is good, but what if salt becomes tasteless? It's no longer salty. Would you salt a piece of meat with tasteless salt? No, you wouldn't. You salt that meat with salt because you want that little zang, that little zing, that little flavor, that seasoning that salt gives to meat or anything else that you put salt on. All right, let's consider the question. Now, once again, this question from Jesus is found in all three of the Synoptic Gospels. You can hold up all three of them, and in all three of them, it's a question. They all put it in question form. Salt is good, but what if the salt becomes flat, tasteless, loses its seasoning, its ability to season something? What good is it? Well, Matthew places it in the Sermon on the Mount once again. Luke places it right after strong words from Jesus on the necessity of totally selling out to him in discipleship. Now, this matters. Where the question is placed really matters, because Jesus said, look, be sure that you are totally following me in discipleship, totally sold out to me, because if you don't, if you're not, then you're in danger of losing your saltiness. All right? So it matters, the context. Remember, a text without a context is a pretext. Let's look at what comes before it, and let's look at what comes after the question. Mark, on the other hand, places the question immediately following Jesus' words about the necessity of making a clean break from a sinful lifestyle, even mixed with a little bit of warning of hell. All right? So you got this question kind of found in three different settings, but it's the same question. And I believe the Holy Spirit had it placed that way because all three of the contexts matter when it comes to you and me staying salty for the kingdom of God. Now, what is the salt in Jesus' teaching? What does it illustrate? Well, I believe the salt illustrates, I believe it has a twofold application. Are you ready? Now watch this. First, we know that salt is a preservative. In the days before we had refrigeration, thank God we have refrigeration. But do you know what it was like before they discovered refrigerators? I think in the early 1800s, somewhere in there, refrigeration was discovered. But before then, and I'm not sure about that date, but I know it was quite some time ago. But in the days before refrigeration, the only way that you could keep meat from rotting and decaying was a process called curing, C-U-R-I-N-G. And curing was about the only way to save meat in warm weather months, because when you poured salt on it, bacteria in the meat could not grow and ruin the meat. So you cured it by putting salt all over it. Salt preserved it from rotting, from going bad in such a way that you couldn't eat it, okay? So I believe that here Jesus is telling us, first of all, that the church is a preservative, that when we are full of the kingdom of God, when we are salty, full of the power of the Spirit, of the love of God, we're walking in his lordship, we're walking in a crucified lifestyle, we're living our lives for him in total discipleship. When we're that way, we're a preservative to a rotting, decaying culture. I believe the church, even though, yes, our culture is going dark, there's no doubt about it, it's going darker and darker all the time, but where would it be if the church weren't here? What would America and the world look like right now if the church were gone, if we had been raptured? What would the culture look like? Remember, Jesus said to the women weeping over his crucifixion, he said, "Don't weep for me, daughters of Jerusalem, but weep for your children and your children's children." Why? Because if they do these things to me during the green tree, what will they do when it's dry? If they're doing these things when I'm among you, what will they do when I'm gone? And it's the same principle. If our culture is going where it's going with the church here, where will it go when the church is raptured out? Well, we know where it'll go. Antichrist will take over and wickedness will come in like a flood. So we're a restrainer. When we walk with Christ, preach the word of God, love the world, share the gospel, worship him, stand for truth, we are preservers. We are salt, preserving the culture from even worse decay.
We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in a moment to close out today's program. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to share the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ. So it's our prayer that these messages from Pastor Jeff aren't something you only listen to and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear. And that's why it's a priority to us. And you get to join us in this important mission. Call us at 877-884-3111 to say you're in. Or drop us a line through our website, lifetalkradio.us. Well, here's Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
Now, the second meaning of salt is about the inner life of the believer, the inward life of you, your interior life, and mine. Jesus said, "Have salt in yourselves, in yourselves." Now, he's warning that if the Christian loses the salt of the kingdom within themselves, and how do you do that? If you lose heart, if you begin to love the world and drift away from prayer, drift from church, from the Bible, from obeying the Lord, you begin to walk in the flesh and party hardy and get out there and you look like the world, you act like the world, you talk like the world, your language goes south, you begin to drift from God, you get lukewarm, where Jesus said, "I just soon spew you out of my mouth. I want you to be hot for me or cold for me, but don't be lukewarm. I can't stand it. Don't say that you're walking with me and then you live like you're not. That's lukewarm. I want you to be hot or cold." So if we begin to do that, then that's how we lose saltiness. That's how we lose our influence. That's how we lose our persuasiveness. That's how we fail as Christians, okay? You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its saltiness, Wherewith shall it be salted? Where can God put you? Why would God put you anywhere? Because if he drops you amongst a group of lost people or out there in some job or your neighbors or whatever to influence them, you're no influence because you've lost your saltiness. So Jesus said, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be trodden underfoot of men and trampled. Wow. Another version puts it, it will be thrown out where people will just walk on it. Why would people walk on Christians that have lost their saltiness? I'll tell you why. Because when you lose your saltiness and you are no longer living for the one you say you believe in, then you look like a hypocrite. And one thing the world hates is hypocrisy. Now, they may not hate it amongst themselves because there's all kind of hypocrisy in the world. But if you take a stand for Christ and then hypocrisy is shown that your walk and your talk are two different things, there is a despising that happens in the eyes of the world. They throw you out and they step on you. They lose respect for you and they mock you. So if you're going to be mocked for something, be mocked for being red hot. Don't be mocked for being hypocritical. Be mocked for being red hot. The Lord seems to be saying that once a Christian goes worldly and loses their saltiness, it's hard to get back. It's hard to get it back. Now, it's not impossible, but it's hard to get it back. And the people you once witnessed to, they don't take you seriously anymore. Not your kids, not your in-laws, not your neighbors, your coworkers, nobody. They don't take you seriously anymore because they're seeing you say you love him, but you don't live like it. You say he's yours and you're his, but there's no evidence. So stay salty with kingdom salt. If you say you're a Christian, let's give it everything we've got. Let's seek him every day, walk with him every day, love him every day, bow to him every day, and not be ashamed of him, because our world is dying for the real thing. They want to see people that really do walk out their faith, all right? Great question. Thank you, Jesus, for a great one, and that's the answer. Now, I've got one more, and then we're done. This is one of my favorites. It's found in John's Gospel. So we're stepping out of the Synoptic Gospels and we're going to John's Gospel. Here it is. A question from Jesus straight to Peter. John 21, verse 22. Jesus says to Peter, what concern is it of yours? What if I want John to remain until I come? Now, you're probably wondering what the context is unless you know the story. It's an interesting question from the mouth of our Lord. I love it. And I love the context where it took place because it's found only in John's Gospel. It's found in none of the Synoptics, only in John. And John is telling us what happened after Jesus had been crucified and rose from the dead. The context is he appears to the disciples on the seashore. They've been fishing all night long and caught absolutely nothing. Jesus yells out to them, children, do you have any meat? But he knows the answer to the question. He knows they've been skunked. They haven't caught a thing all night long. But he asked them, and they realize by the question, they hear something in that question. They've heard it before, because Jesus asked them something very similar in the very beginning of his ministry when he called them to follow him. So Peter realizes it's the Lord. He jumps in the water, swims to Jesus, and there we have the whole drama of Jesus asking Peter three times, Simon, do you love me? Do you love me, Simon? Do you love me? And Peter answering three times, you know that I love you, you know that I love you. And then the third time, Peter was grieved and said, Lord, you know all things, you know that I love you. And three times Jesus said, feed my sheep. And then Jesus launches into a prophetic prediction to Peter about his future martyrdom. And he says in verse 18 of John 21, and I'm reading this out of the Living Bible. He says, the truth is, when you were young, you tied your own belt and you went where you wanted. But Peter, when you're old, you will put out your hands and someone else is going to tie your belt. In other words, they're going to tie your hands and they will lead you where you don't want to go. Now, the next verse, John tells us what that meant. Jesus said this to show how Peter would die to give glory to God. Then he said to Peter, follow me. Now, we know that Peter was martyred, and church tradition and all historical accounts tell us Peter was hung upside down on a cross, and that he actually asked for that. saying, I'm not worthy to be hung right side up like my Lord was. Now, whether or not that's tradition, I don't know. But I do know that Peter was martyred. And you can count on it, as Jesus predicted that he would be martyred, that he would be tied somehow, and he was taken as a bound man to the place of his martyrdom, you can bank on it, that's exactly what happened. Now, after Jesus says this to Peter, Peter looks around and he looks right at John. And John is standing there sort of twiddling his thumbs, kind of looking around. And Peter wants to know, wait a minute, if I'm going to be martyred, what about him? What about him? What about John? In other words, fair is fair here, Lord. If I'm going to be tied up and martyred, what's going to happen to John? Fill me in. Come on. Lay something heavy on him. I mean, I'm willing to die for you, but what about him? And that is when Jesus answers his question with a question. He says, what concern is that of yours? Now, I want to stop there. This is really carrying an important truth. Have you ever looked at the way God was using somebody else or how God was blessing somebody else and it just seemed like they were getting more blessed than you, more used than you, or that they were more gifted than you or had more money than you or had this or that or had more opportunity than you? Have you ever looked at somebody like that and said, Lord, what about them? Why are you doing this with them? Why aren't they experiencing, you know, the setbacks that I am or the troubles that I've experienced? Or why does it seem like I'm going through so much more than they are? What about them, Lord? And it's easy in times like that for envy and jealousy to rise up, rear their ugly heads and bring you into a real torment of a real battle. Lord, why am I not as blessed as them? Why aren't they going through? Why have you been better and more favorable to them? Because I think that might have been something that was in Peter's question. Why doesn't John have to be martyred? Jesus said, listen, you know what, Peter? It's none of your business. And you know why it's none of your business? Because I don't want you focused on somebody else. I don't want you thinking about somebody else. I don't want you worried about somebody else. I don't want you comparing yourself to somebody else. Because as long as you're focused on somebody else, Peter, you're not going to be focused on what I want you to do. You are Peter. He is John. You are Peter. And I'm not doing with you what I'm doing with John. You know, it snowed last Sunday. And we look out at that beautiful, beautiful snowfall. And we know that every one of those snowflakes are different. Every one of them. If you put any one of them under a microscope, they would be shaped differently from the next one. And look at the trillions of snowflakes that fall every year, yet every one of them are different in their shape. Isn't God wonderful in his creation? Now, if God can make every snowflake different, he's made every one of us different. Not only in our makeup and the way we look and who we are. Yeah, we're all human, but we're all different. They're all snowflakes, but they're all different. Jesus is saying to Peter, and he says to me and to you, I don't want you to be tormented by what I'm doing with somebody else or always be looking at it. I want you to know that I've got something unique for you, and I want you to fulfill my unique calling on your life. And I don't want you so troubled about someone else or so feeling cheated by what I'm doing with someone else that you don't realize I'm blessing you. And what I've called you to do is just as wonderful, though it may be different. And I have not been unfair. In God's kingdom, it's different strokes for different folks. And that's what I see with this question. Simon Peter, if I will that he remains until I come, what is that to you? And listen to these words, you follow me. And that's the word to all of us. What's the answer to the question? And the answer to the question is, it's none of my business, Lord, what you're doing with anyone else. But I will follow your path for me. And I'm going to finish my course, and I'm going to keep the faith, and I'm going to fight a good fight, and I'm going to break the finish tape at the end of my run, my journey, and what you've done with me. And that's the answer to the question.
Thanks for listening today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. To get a copy of today's message, give us a call at 877-884-3111. Or you can pick it up at our website, lifetalkradio.us. That's 877-884-3111 or the website, lifetalkradio.us. And while you're there at the website, you'll find today's message along with all the messages from Pastor Jeff on our Listen page. You can also sign up to get our e-devotionals, ministry updates, our exclusive Life Talk listener emails, and a whole lot more. We'll even send you a free gift just for signing up. And be sure to check out the resource page, as it's packed with so many things we know you'll be interested in. Again, the website is lifetalkradio.us, or call us at 877-884-3111. One last thing. Your partnership with this program through your generous giving is always needed and very appreciated. We know Life Talk is making a difference in your life, so this is how you can make a difference to ours. Please take a minute to send your best gift at the partner page on our website, lifetalkradio.us, or by calling 877-884-3111. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly appreciate it. Be sure to join us next time right here on Life Talk.